Let us turn now to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we will be looking this evening at verses 10 through 12. 10 through 12. We'll read from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Thus far in the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word of truth. We pray thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word this night. We pray that our souls may be encouraged as we walk with thee. We pray that we may be led of thy Spirit. We pray that our hearts may be filled with joy and gladness, turning from sin into the wonderful light of the gospel. We pray in the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen. Beloved congregation, do you have a strong connection with the Old Testament? Do you feel a fellowship with the Old Testament saints? And do you consider them your brothers and sisters in Christ? I hope that you do. I hope that's been one of the effects of my ministry. I know when I became more acquainted or turned, really, to the Reformed faith, that was one of the great benefits that came to me, was the continuity of the Old and the New Testaments and the blessing of the Old Testament, so that out of balance, but I have spent a lot of time preaching through the Old Testament, the books of the Old Testament in my 30-some years here. So it's been an encouragement. It's wonderful to see the gospel in the Old Testament. And one of the reasons that we can do that is exactly the argument that Peter sets before us here in the passage that we have read, 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12. The saints in the Old Testament were saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved by the grace of God. And we've had often very strange teachings about how the saints in the Old Testament were saved. Some people that believe that they were saved by their own good works up until Christ came, and then grace came into the picture. But they were, the only way to get into heaven is by grace. It's the only way. And we need to be assured of that, and we need to look at all of the Old Testament saints in just that way. So Peter sets before us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the prophets. And he tells us that they were ministering unto us. He says, first of all, in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. So they themselves were saved through faith in Christ, but there were still many things that they had to search out. There were many things that they were wondering about. I think a good analogy is the same way in which we are wondering about how the last days before the return of the Lord Jesus are going to play out. What is it going to look like at the time just before Christ returns? We have the whole book of Revelation. We have chapters throughout the Bible that make reference to the return of the Lord. We're told to be aware so that we're ready for that day, and yet it seems to be a source of great confusion, even amongst Christians, about what exactly we're to look for. And so we anticipate that time, but we're very uncertain. We could say that, like the Old Testament prophets, that we are inquiring and searching diligently. So even though we disagree, it's a good point at which we talk talk with one another, discuss what the scriptures say, and try to avoid speculation. There's always going to be some speculation about the end times, but to be as biblical as we can and to be as rooted and grounded in the Word of God. There's the prophets as they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. As we studied Micah, we saw that repeatedly through the book of Micah, that he was speaking of the gospel age that was still 700 years away, a long time in the future, but he spoke of it in glorious terms, and he was telling the people in his day, repent of sin in your own life because the Messiah is coming. It's coming after you're going to die, after several generations are going to die, but repent because of the gospel, always directing them towards the grace of God. So prophets were intently curious about exactly what the details of the gospel were. They inquired. They wanted to know. Think about the things that you study, the things that you spend time investigating. They are things that are of interest to you. They are things that stir your heart. And so what was it that the prophets of the Old Testament studied and inquired into? The things that were the burden of their heart, the desire to know more about the salvation. The salvation still to come. Charles Simeon says, the gospel is called grace because it is the highest expression of God's kindness toward our guilty world. And so the prophets prophesied of coming grace. They'd experienced God's grace. They were themselves saved. Their souls were secured by the work of Christ still to be performed. In that sense, it was a coming grace. It was based on a future historical event. They were looking forward to that. And so in that sense, it was a coming grace, unfolding of the plan of redemption. So in the book of Hebrews, when all the saints are listed in verse 13, It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had the promises, but they hadn't realized them. They hadn't beheld them with their own eyes. Not having received the promise or the fulfillment of the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's true, especially of Abraham, stranger and a pilgrim. But it was true of all the Old Testament saints. We might feel a little bit differently about some of them. Maybe Solomon was kind of rooted in a bit of materialism there. He really seemed to be enjoying all the possessions of this life. But the saints knew that they were strangers and pilgrims. They're still, this world is not my home. There are greater things awaiting me through the finished work of the Messiah. Hebrews 11, again in verse 40, it talks about God having provided some better thing for us that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So there's a working together in a way. They knew that all of these things were going to be fulfilled and much more appreciated in a future date. And so they investigated them. They held to them very, very strongly because they were their salvation. It says in verse 11 that these prophets searched the significance of what the Holy Spirit had declared. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So this is a very significant verse in that it tells us, teaches us that they did have the Old Testament. They did have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They had the Spirit of Christ. And in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for Christ is Messiah. So those are, Christ is a Greek word. Messiah, Meshach, is the Hebrew word. But they both mean the same thing. They both mean anointed. So whenever in the Old Testament they were looking forward to Messiah, they understood that what we would call Christ, what the concept, the teaching, the person of Christ was bound up in that title, Messiah. So they had the Spirit of Messiah, we could say. They had the Spirit of Christ, who was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. So they had that salvation. They had that possession of the Holy Spirit for salvation, of course. But I think something else is in view here, and that is the Holy Spirit that indwelt them to inspire their writings. So we're speaking not just of the Old Testament prophets, but of the things that they wrote. The word inscripturated, the word written. In the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 21, he says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is our doctrine. It touches on our doctrine of inspiration. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we won't dwell on that this evening, but it is good to remember that we believe that God wrote these words, that this is the Word of God, that when you open your Bibles to read them, you are reading the very Word of God, that it is God speaking to you. So there can be a curiosity that is just academic, or there can be a curiosity that relates very directly to your personal life. And it's the response of love and adoration and worship that we gather to do every Sabbath day. So here is the delight in the truth of the Word. Not just knowing God's Word, but delighting it and making it the topic of our singing. And it's another thing that's just so wonderful about worship in a Reformed church is the topics that we sing about. We have many controversial doctrines that we actually sing about because we rejoice to know them. These are good things about our worship together. So they wrote inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let me just make a comment here about this doctrine, and that is that even though the Holy Spirit gave them the words to write, God, in his great power and creativity, brought forth the personalities and different writing styles of each of these men. So that when we examine the letters of Peter, they're different from the letters of John. They're different again from the letters of Paul. They're different again from the prophecy of Isaiah. You can see that there's an interest, an aspect, an emphasis in each of these writers that is peculiar to them. It brings out their personality. We feel as though we know Paul as an apostle as different from Peter as an apostle. And of course, in Peter's case especially, we have much of his life recorded in the Gospels. We know his personality. And that's just wonderful to know these things. They don't contradict each other. They just write differently. So here's God giving the very word of God and yet letting the personalities of these authors come through. It's very, very wonderful to think of how our God has given us the truth of his word. So they were searching the significance of what the Holy Spirit declared. They wanted to know more about what they prophesied. They understood, really, what Paul says to the Colossians, that they were writing in types and shadows. They didn't have the complete picture. But they knew something substantial of what they were writing. It wasn't airy-fairy. It wasn't in a mist. It was solid, but it was still not quite as definite as they would like it to be. So they knew Christ, but they did not know him as fully as we do today. We can think of a picture out of focus. So some of you that wear glasses, if you were to remove your glasses, you might not be able to recognize me specifically. You might be able to recognize me by my voice, not too certain about my features, but you would know that it was me. So there we could see that they saw Christ out of focus. They didn't see him as clearly. They saw him, but not as clearly as you and I are able to see him looking back at his life and his revealed will. So the Holy Spirit, it says that when the Holy Spirit testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the Holy Spirit testified of these things to them, the sufferings of Christ. And what a clear picture we have of that in Isaiah 53 that we read earlier, and in Psalm 22, well, we read Psalm 69, you have the sufferings of Christ, a messianic psalm, and then also the glories that should follow. In Psalm 22, you have, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. So you have these wonderful blessings that are found in the Old Testament prophets. Then, when the Holy Spirit testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. We can think of Psalm 110. We can think of Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. So they saw the glory that was going to be part of salvation in a shadow. And then Peter goes ahead to say something else that is significant. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. So they understood in some way that they were ministering to those who would benefit from the life of Christ after he had come and laid down his life for their sins. They weren't ministering only to themselves, not just to their own generation, but somehow they understood that they were ministering to us. Do you see the Old Testament saints as ministering to you? Are they more than something just for the Jews? Obviously, they had a ministry to the Jews. But was it only to the Jews? Peter says that these are the things which are now reported or announced unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. So the gospel preaching includes the writings and ministry of the Old Testament saints. They're an important part of our understanding of the gospel. So when modern man says, what is the deal with Christians talking constantly about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you always have to bring in the blood? It's because we understand the Old Testament requirements that God had. And those requirements still stand. Those requirements have never stopped. It's the Word of God. And another reason we worship and gather together is because the ceremonial aspects of those laws were fulfilled in Christ. They're still required of everyone that lives upon the earth. And they can only be satisfied through faith in the Lord Jesus. So do you understand that? The importance of understanding the sacrifices of Leviticus as pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the godly men through the ages that have written commentaries on those books, they're worthy of study because they are the gospel in seed form. And they open to us the fullness of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is very sad to hear of churches where there's virtually no preaching from the Old Testament. It's a dead letter to them. They have no interest in those things. But they're a great delight to the people of God because they show the fullness of God's work of redemption in history. These are preached unto us with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So the Spirit of Christ revealed them to the Old Testament prophets. Now they are preached with the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. They were sent down from heaven. So here we have the ministry that the Lord had for the Old Testament prophets, wherein they were used in days gone by to minister unto us. We could say all the time after death, Christ's life and death and resurrection. But we can think very specifically. These are ministering to us in the 21st century. So they were being used in a way that they could not even fully comprehend, but they were aware of. And isn't that true of you and I in a sense as well? You may think of your life as being insignificant as far as the affairs of the world go. You may think of yourself as not mattering. And in that sense, we can not take the word of God seriously enough, or even the holiness of our life, if you don't take it seriously enough, because you may be thinking, what difference does it make? My circle of influence is so small. And that was true sometimes of the Old Testament saints as well, wasn't it? Jeremiah. Nobody wanted to listen to him. His actual influence was very limited. And he was rejected by the common people. He was rejected by the kings. Nobody stood up for him when he was lowered into a pit. But he ministered. He continued faithfully ministering the word of life, knowing that he was ministering to us in this age. And that's important for you, beloved, to think about how the Lord can use you in ways that you don't even realize. To desire to be a light set on a hill that may influence others more than you think. Even as we were considering this morning about being in contact with those who represent you in our legislative assemblies in our country, the House of Commons, that you can have that influence. They invite that influence as part of your being a citizen of Canada. You can have a good influence, especially as you pray over the communication that you have with them. God, beloved, is using your testimony for good. It may seem like a flickering light. It may seem like a smoking flax. It's ready to go out. But the Lord can and does use your testimony. And so your faithfulness towards Christ, arising out of your love for the Savior, is very, very important and significant. So this is important consideration to guard your life, guard the holiness of your testimony, so that you can be an encouragement to others and not a warning to others, an encouragement to walk in the way of holiness. So in all of these things, Peter says, you're the Old Testament prophets that are ministering even to us in these days. They searched diligently, but so did the angels. The curiosity of the angels who desire to look into these things. What a picture we have in the Ark of the Covenant as the angels look and face each other. They're looking towards those things that are within the Ark, representative of the gospel. The law, the law set in stone, the ark or the rod that budded, indicating the government of Christ's church, and then the manna, indicating Christ's provision, and pointing all of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the angels that are desiring to look into things that they cannot know experientially. They cannot obtain salvation. They are on the outside looking in, which is very curious because they rejoice. Jesus said there is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. So they rejoice. They know that their own hearts are made glad, and they delight when a sinner is saved. But they still have questions. And it intrigues them. And what can this thing be that redeems these people who are not worthy of salvation? They can behold the sinfulness of Christ's own people, and they don't know what that is because they've never fallen. So they are wondering, what is salvation? We have always been in fellowship with God. Our fellowship has never been broken. But here is God exercising grace to rebels who raised up raised up their fists in objection to Christ's authority, and yet they're saved. Not only are they saved, they're sustained. They're kept. And they're kept on the basis of a promise that God made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things are, and more, are things that they desire to look into. This is amazing. And the indication here is that it's an ongoing matter of study to them. They are curious. They're inquisitive. How this thing can be? What is involved in God's plan of redemption for these sinners? So they have an intense interest in Christ's work of redemption. The Holy Spirit's applying the work of redemption to sinners. So if the angels who have never experienced these things, beloved, look into them and research them and study them, isn't it important for you and I also to look into them, to study, inquire concerning the matters of salvation? R.C. Sproul, I think shortly before he passed away, wrote a book called Everyone's a Theologian. Everyone's a theologian. Sometimes theology, the word even itself, can sound very intimidating. But it is just doing the study of God's word. That's what theology is. The study, logos, of theos, the God. The study of God. And it is a delightful thing to do. We just experienced, we experienced one of the most delightful times this morning in Sunday school. We opened the Gospel of John, and we had these ideas going back and forth. All of the participants in the discussion were interested in what God's Word said. We're comparing Scripture with Scripture. It's just a delightful thing to do with the saints, to just delve into God's Word. And, of course, having the guidance of Elder Donnelly as the teacher, but he brought things together. And it was just wonderful to get into God's Word. It wasn't deep or profound, but it was encouraging. And in a way, it was very profound because it touched our hearts. What a delight it is to study God's Word. The matters pertaining to your salvation, the aspects of your salvation. We cover a lot of them as we go through our catechism question week by week. We don't stop and study them so much, but we are reminded that these are doctrines that we believe and that they're important, and they ought to stir your heart to study. So, beloved, let us be students of God's Word and not dismiss things that just because we don't understand them, but desire to know what some of these things mean. We use doctrinal words that are not in vogue. They're not being used very often anymore. But to delve into them. The prophets of the Old Testament, they delved into them. The angels that couldn't experience salvation, they studied, and they continue to study them. And we may feel as though, well, we have all the fullness, we have everything in Christ. There's always more to study, beloved. Be diligent in reading your Bibles. Be diligent in studying the things. There should be questions that arise and that are found within the Word of God, and bear your study and comparing Scripture with Scripture. So once again, beloved, a good reminder of all the names that we could have chosen for our denomination. In 1937, we chose Bible Presbyterian. And let's not let that name be in vain. Let's be Bible Presbyterians. Let's have our emphasis. Let's be known as people who love the Word of God, study the Word of God, and delight to study in that Word so that we're filled with the fullness of the wonder of God's saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee and give Thee thanks for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the ministry of the prophets of the Old Testament who ministered unto us in this day, in this age in which we live. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, will Thou move upon our hearts to not only read Thy Word, but to study and inquire and search out the things pertaining unto our own salvation, that we may have the greater delight in it and greater joy than we already experience. We pray that we may go from glory to glory. We ask of Thee, Lord, that Thou have mercy upon us to guide us aright, that we may not lean unto our own understanding, but that we may diligently study Thy Word as it is revealed to us. Lord, hear our prayer this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.